October 16th. This meeting is being held virtually and is also being recorded per Madison General Ordinance 33.01 Section 12. Please adhere to the virtual meetings etiquette by doing the following. All food policy members, please keep your cameras on during the meeting. Community members, guests, and staff, please keep cameras off during the meeting unless speaking. All attendees, please keep mics muted unless called upon by the chair after raising your hand virtually. Attendees calling in can use star 6 to mute and unmute in the Zoom platform and star 9 to raise your hand. And here we go with the agenda, which is here. Okay. So yes, this is me calling the meeting to order. First item will be to review last month's minutes and approve them. And I'm gonna... Main requirement for that is you have to have attended the last month's minutes. Meeting. So I'm looking for a hand, but take your time to look over it as needed. Chris?
I move to approve last month's minutes.
Okay.
Second.
Nan? Nan's that's a second.
Yes.
Any hands on edits? Okay. Seeing no hands, I'll assume unanimous consent on the approval of the minutes. Thanks for that process. Now to make sure I'm on the right agenda.
Hey, Nicholas, while you're
yes.
Doing that, I'm just going to briefly interject to say this is the first meeting that we're going to have an opportunity to exercise our new ability to invite our alternates to participate in the meeting. I just wanted to call that attention to that for the members that Dave and Nan, because of some absences, will both be active and the ability to vote and do count for quorum today.
Okay, thanks. Yes, and I realize we aren't actually doing a physical roll call, and I don't believe I ever have, because we're all virtual. And so, yes, thank you for bringing that up, since now I'm noticing that roll call. Okay. Any public comment?
None submitted.
Okay. And I don't think we have any items, but I guess anything you want to disclose or recuse about the Food Policy Council in general? Okay. Any new business people would like to bring up to talk about at a future meeting? Okay. I'm going to admit Katie Strader. And sorry. Dave. Sorry. Dave L. I think you're still muted, Dave.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm happy to be joining you folks as an alternate. And, I just wanted to say one reason I'm most interested in this is to think about and see what this council and other groups are doing for providing food in emergency and disaster situations. So that's an interest of mine. I am quite willing to listen and watch and hear what's going on. But at some point, I hope I can find out what is being done to provide food and water access in an emergency. So that's it.
Okay. Yeah, no, I think Madison disaster response related food and water, great item of new business. We'll try to incorporate, or not try to, we will incorporate that into the future meeting, and we'll see if you can be involved in the organization for that. Thanks, Dave. I wrote it down. I assume Nick did too. You made me lose my agenda though, Dave. That's okay. Okay, report from the chair. I didn't realize. Anyway. Okay, because we don't have any business. Sorry. Report from the chair is our next thing. I'm lowering your hand, Dave. Don't worry about it. I actually have very little report today, and I think a big part of it, of the meeting, is going to be reports from a regular business report. So mostly I'd just like to welcome Dan and Dave as acting members today. I'm glad that we were able to change this system to both make the council function more better and get you two on board for decision making and input. And with that being said, we'll move to the regular business reports where we'll maybe hear from you more. So regional food system planning.
Yeah, Noah couldn't make it tonight, so he provided some updates from the food system planning effort. So the RFSP, the Regional Food System Planning, is in the beginning phase of the community engagement process, launching projects and looking for community partnerships to expand work and connections. Some updates include that the community survey is nearing completion. There is a podcast that Noah has been recording with various members of the community and food system partners, and recording and editing is underway with a couple episodes now complete and soon to be published online. There's new data analysis tools that the group has had the luxury of being provided access to, including 2024 Ag Census data that will inform the plan, in addition to the ongoing literature review and SWOT analysis. The Commercial Food Space Roundtable is another effort, kind of a project that has spawned out of this work. And planning and organizing for that is underway with discussions between landlords and food business renters. Agricultural producer surveys, another survey tool, is being drafted at the moment and launching soon with the network to gather insights from farmers. And then lastly, there's been some updates on our goals for the timeline and extension, not necessarily updates, but the project is exploring a no-cost extension with the USDA just to allow a little bit more flexibility and additional time to complete the work, while the aim is still to complete the USDA portion of the project by next fall, so a year from now, and the actual plan itself in the spring of 2026. These extensions will need to be considered early on and will allow for a little bit of greater flexibility, like I mentioned. So some good updates, work continues, and I would expect that this group will be receiving more opportunities for direct feedback on that work as 2025 unfolds. Thanks.
Devika?
Thanks, Nick. I just have a question, a clarification question. So is the regional food system planning exactly synonymous with the Dane County Food Action Plan?
Yeah, great question. Yes and no. So I think in the purposes of our business updates, yes, the RFSP is actually a USDA grant. So the regional food system planning process is what really inspired all this. So we've kind of co-opted that term for the purposes of this business report. Maybe we can clarify that and just put food system action plan, because I think that better encapsulates the breadth of the work that's being undertaken here. But yes, so there's kind of two separate sides of it. There's the grant for the USDA, the RFSP grant, and the requirements there are about developing essentially the consumer and community feedback and engagement, understanding where Dane County's, it's almost the information gathering, the network building and the partnership development side of the plan. And then the county has funded additionally the development of an actual plan itself. And that work will be taking place in sequence, but also kind of on top of the work of that USDA grant. Does that make sense?
Yeah, the addition, Nan.
Just a question about whether an extension of time is needed from the county given its contribution of funds.
Yeah, I think ideally no, and I think that conversation will also be taken place, but I don't think it's as urgent to plan for, since the county board is a little bit more easier to collaborate with and partner with, and particularly with our friends on the Dane County Food Council who shepherded a lot of that funding through. So yeah, I think that ideally, I think the group is pretty much in common understanding that the goal is still to reach these original deadlines, and nothing has slowed us from that necessarily, except for the fact that the work always spawns more questions and more research and more desire to learn. So keeping those deadlines there, I think, will be useful to provide some targets to reach as we kind of switch gears from engagement and info gathering to more plan development and recommendation creation.
Thanks, Nick.
Sorry, one last thing. I just wanted to also mention that I think this is a good place to tie back into the earlier conversation and Dave's comments around new business for emergency planning. This plan in particular, I think, will be a place, one of the values that has been identified early on is around resilience. And I think that's where the emergency preparedness dimension will get highlighted. Emergency management sector would probably be informative to that. So whether we prepare a separate conversation in the Food Council or we use this update as a way to also weave in more information about that issue, I could see both being beneficial to the conversation. So I think it's very timely that you have brought that up.
Thanks, Nick. Regional ag and food sovereignty. We did have a meeting this month. We talked a lot about things that you'll actually hear about later. We kind of have the same issue as David was mentioning, and that a lot of our work is done under another heading. We also, I think, don't really have anything to say about who poses yet, but we are sort of, we, Nicholas, we are looking more about how the Madison regulations currently exist and any recommendations we'd like to make for changes. Nothing ready to present to the council yet, but I guess if you're interested in talking about that or have input or just want to know what's going on, you can reach out to me directly. Nicholas@rooted.wi.org. And Dane Food Access Network is the next one.
I'll make another update here. The Food Access Network has continued to hear from members that demand remains high. There was hope for maybe some declines once school started, and we were seeing initial glimpses of that, but overall, pantries are still reporting fairly steadily high levels as they were this summer, which is unfortunate. And bears continued monitoring. I did want to highlight one connection that was made at the Food Access Network in September. Second Harvest made mention that they're going to be doing some distributions, food distributions, and other basic needs distributions with migrant farm families in the area. And so they connected with some of my colleagues in public health and will potentially, who are working with similar populations for their vaccination and immunization and sexual and reproductive health community clinics. So those folks may be able to collaborate on some of these events and provide services as well as those basic needs distributions at the same time. So a nice little connection that was made, and hopefully many more to come.
Thanks, Nick. I guess I don't have a question. Why don't we go to the Farmland Preservation Task Force?
Okay, that's me. I'm going to have a couple of documents to share with you in a second, but I just wanted to take a moment to introduce myself to new members of the council and why am I the one reporting on the Farmland Preservation Task Force. I was the chair of the Food Policy Council when it was founded in 2012. I served in that role until 2019, when I was on city staff for a while and then came back to advise this group when we stood it back up during the pandemic, and have been sort of chair emerita for those years until we did this reworking of the council roster so that we could allow for alternates. And since I've been attending all these meetings all along, I am now back as an alternate. In 2022, late 22 to 23, I chaired with Rebecca Kemble, who is a member of this group but not attending this evening, a farmland preservation task force that met biweekly for about 6 months and produced a report to the Common Council, which was accepted by the council in May of 2023. And what I'm going to be talking about this evening is I decided it was important to do a progress report on what we've been able to accomplish since that our output was accepted by the Common Council, for several reasons. I think it's really important to follow through on projects like this. Very often those kinds of reports get put on a shelf and nobody ever looks at them again. And it's really important to follow up. It's also important to document your progress. And how you made that headway, because you can provide a record that others can then follow. And we have the advantage of the city having to keep public records. And so the more public records we can get into Legistar, the more information there is for people who might be interested in these topics going forward. So that is the that's the background and the raison d'etre for the two documents I'm going to be sharing with you tonight. And we're going to see whether I can do this from my computer. And if I can't, then Nick is going to help. So where is, I don't do this very often. So share. I don't want Spark. I want Google Chrome. What's unknown mean? Uh-oh. Can you all still hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Okay. I gotta see what this is before I open it up. Huh. Well, let me just open it and see if it... If nothing is coming. Okay, this could get a little bit complicated because I don't do this very often. Nick, can you just toss the matrix up there?
Yes, I can. 1 second.
Thanks very much. So the report was about 18 pages long that we submitted to the Common Council, and it had several sections. The last three pages were a matrix for implementation of the 47 recommendations that the group came up with. And this group had Common Council members, okay, the matrix comes first. Uh-oh, and that's my old document. That's okay.
Sorry, Nan, let me dig that out. I apologize. Would you like me to stop?
No worries. I just want to do the matrix first. The okay. Google Doc, yeah.
Apologize, let me pull that up.
No worries. So what you're gonna see is the Google document that was the final three pages of the report, but we've added a column to track our progress. And so this is just a quick glimpse at what the structure of our recommendations is, give you a sense of the scale of what we what we're recommending. You can see that the categories are loosely associated with the staff areas, with city staff areas that are responsible for these topics. It also, it created a roadmap for us so that we could pick out, you know, the low-hanging fruit and see what we could get accomplished first, and maybe had some momentum on it. And then the final column, the one that's in living color, is noting our progress. There we go. So if you look in, if you look just across the top, and I don't know if you all are, if that's big enough for you to read or what you want to do on your own machine, your own screens, but you'll see that there's a topic and we have, like, this is the land use planning section, and there are quite a few entries underneath that. They're numbered. We are specific about the recommendation. We identify the responsible staff that we think can help us do it. We set a time frame for the project, and then tried to think about what the advocacy would be needed. And so you can just roll through this slowly all the way down to the end, while you see those colors coming up along on the in column G. That's our color coding for where are we with it. If it's red, it hasn't been begun. If it's yellow, it's in progress. And if it's green, it's one of the things we finished. And there are various reasons for why each of these things is in the category it's in. And it'll take a much closer look at this by those who are interested in carrying the work forward to really see where those opportunities are. But one of the suggestions I'm going to make, so you see down there, number 48 is the last cell. So there are a lot of recommendations. They're clustered in topic areas. And I think what this document can provide is some potential elements for a 2025 work plan that could be could be added to the Food Policy Council's projects that it wants to advance next year. So that's a brief just sort of overview of the scale of the work and the structure that we gave it so that everybody could see what was going on. So if we can go to the narrative then, Nick, I'm not going to go through this narrative word by word because it's designed to be self-explanatory for anybody who finds it and wants to dive in. It links to the Farmland Preservation Report, where folks can actually see the entire report. What you'll find there is an executive summary that describes the task force's establishment and its purpose, timeline, process, all that sort of stuff. The general recommendations are described in narrative on a couple of pages, and then it goes to the matrix. So stop at the completed, just scroll back up so that completed, there you go. And then what I've done in this document is to, these are the five projects that we completed. You can see when they were completed, their Legistar numbers are here, and there's an explanation of what we did, and to some degree, who was involved in doing it, not by name, but you can tell when the Parks Division was involved or when it was something that happened at the Common Council. And also there's a reference in number five there that while we were able to get the potential for a community garden listed on the plan for the north parcel of Olbrich Park, which is basically the backyard of Garver Feed Mill, actually implementing a community garden there will take community collaboration. And so that is both a completed item in the sense that we have a marker in the plan for a community garden, but making that actually happen is going to be up to further community effort. If you want to scroll down to the next page, Nick, Next is a brief description of ones that are in progress. Those are the ones marked yellow as we scrolled through the matrix. The Parks and Open Space Plan is being updated this year. I was not able to figure out exactly where they are in the process, but we should be checking in on that. Same with the Sustainability Plan. The revisions to the city's leases on agricultural lands is something we're working on, submitting actual ideas and lease language to staff by the end of the year. There's a reference to the Garber Community Garden in number four. Nick mentioned the Urban Hoop House project. This is just a brief description of what he's been working on, and Alder Vitiver has been part of that as well. And then Nick mentioned that there's also a community conversation going on about community scale composting. So those are the kinds of things that are currently in progress. That's not meant to be an exhaustive list. It's really only referencing topics that were in the Farmland Preservation Task Force report. So scrolling on down to next steps. These are recommendations that are ones that the Food Policy Council can move forward. One and two can do on its own, and would be good ones to do. The seed grant process is one that happens annually, and it was our recommendation that guidelines be considered that would encourage awards to new farm startups and disadvantaged or marginalized urban farm groups. And also the suggestion that the city adopt federal EPA standards for putting community gardens on contaminated soils. And this would be necessary in the Garber feed mill location that is being remediated. It was supposed to happen this year. I don't know what's going on at the moment, but that would be a good one to get in place. It should be not difficult to do, but the Common Council would need to adopt that as a standard for the city to then follow. The third is a heavy lift because the Integrated Pest Management Policy Review Task Force was essentially paused because of COVID restrictions on meetings. And some of the folks who were involved in it then are no longer in the positions they were in 2020. But it was important work. It was entering the public engagement phase, and it was very frustrating to have the plug pulled on it at that time. It was not adjourned, and I think it could be reconvened without too much trouble. The question is how to get the right people around the table to continue that work. Most of them were city staff. Who had responsibility in various departments. And then the final page of this is kind of a how to do certain kinds of advocacy so that folks who haven't been through this process have a clue about how to be effective doing it. So we made some changes in the Parks and Open Space Plan, the Sustainability Plan, and the Comp Plan. And those bullet points basically list the steps that we took to do that. And that anybody who really wants to do that, you know, with some other topic that's in the recommendations of the food policy of the Farmland Preservation Task Force, or frankly, any policy recommendation that might just come from the Madison Food Policy Council on its own. And we've done that in the past. We've made ordinance changes to, you know, where you can plant on your property, how tall things can be, what prairie plants are okay and shouldn't be considered weeds, all that kind of stuff. Those can come from the Food Policy Council directly. And so these are basically sort of step-by-step guidance for any members and for the whole council about how do we go about advocating for the things that we think are important and we want to get city decision makers to take a look at. So the Common Council resolutions process is longer. Not necessarily in time, but it has more steps. And so those are outlined in the second bullet point. And it's important to take it to team up with the alders who are on the Food Policy Council, who can be really helpful in shepherding this kind of work through. So That's a lot of information. It's intended to be so that it's there when people need it. But I'd be happy to take any questions about any and all of this. I would suggest we put the matrix back up if people have questions about any particular thing. You won't have seen this very much unless you actually go to the task force report. But if anybody has any general questions or ideas that any of this sparked for you, please sing out.
A public version of both of these documents will be linked to the notes. Is that correct? The minutes.
Yes, I wanted the opportunity to have to take input from the group today.
Oh yeah, I wasn't trying to subvert you.
Yeah, no. I just want everybody to know that these are as good as they are right now. But if there are issues that you've spotted or questions that are provocative about any of it, I'm happy to revisit any of that based on our conversation here. But the goal is to attach final versions of these two documents to the meeting minutes that of this meeting that will be discussed in December, so that then they become part of the record in Legistar. We can't attach them to the actual report because they're not officially part of the report. So they're going to be officially part of the Food Policy Council's record, but anybody searching for Farmland Preservation Task Force information should be able to find them.
Yeah, thanks, Nan. This is really cool. And I like how you've laid it out and it's really clear. My question is, are these all the recommendations, are these from the comp plan? They're
from the Farmland Preservation Task Force.
Oh, okay. Okay, so that's a different document, but connected to the comprehensive plan?
I'm sorry if I didn't explain that well.
I may have missed it.
This group made recommendations for changes to be made in the comprehensive plan, in the subdivision ordinance, in the parks and open space plan, and the sustainability plan, at least those four. And though we pursued those in the context of each of those plans' revision process. This is a list of recommendations made by the Farmland Preservation Task Force. And we acted on them.
And some of those green things are changes to the comp plan. And also some of the things in the Farmland Preservation Task Force come from the comp plan. Like recommendations in the comp plan were called out in the Preservation Task Force and urged to focus on them.
And you'll see in the explanation that like in the red ones up in the comp plan section, which is in the land use planning, the first 10 recommendations, some of those cannot be addressed until the full comprehensive plan is being updated. We were only able to participate in the interim update because that had limited scope. So those recommendations will sit there until the full comprehensive plan is updated in 2026-27, at which point hopefully someone will look back here and say, oh yeah, we wanted to recommend revisions to these sections. That make sense?
Yeah, thanks.
It's worth reading the Farmland Preservation Task Force report if you haven't already. It's not very long. We tried to make it really clear and concise, but it's an important piece of work that several members of the Food Policy Council were on. Alder Evers was on with us, and Rebecca Kemble, who was a former alder, and I were all heavily involved in it. And it really is a roadmap for things that the Regional Agriculture and Food Systems Food Sovereignty Work Group and the full Food Policy Council can continue to work on implementing. Okay, there aren't any further questions. We'll finalize these documents and make sure they're attached to the minutes. You'll see them again in a linkable form before that meeting in December.
And yeah, I'll just, I guess, reiterate what I think Nan has said, which is that, I mean, one part of what I think Nan has said is that these are, the comprehensive plan is a comprehensive plan of everything in the city, every part of the city planning. This is a specific plan for farmland preservation. But also, I think with that farmland preservation goes a lot of the other parts of the Food Policy Council. And so I think if you're new to the council or new to thinking about any of these sort of things, I think Nan's laid out, well, the Farmland Preservation Task Force has laid out a good set of like list of things that if you'd want to turn them from red to green, be a great item for like new business or for getting involved. So yeah.
Exactly. Thanks, Nicholas. Yep.
Yeah. Thanks, Nan. Any other questions? Otherwise I'll find my agenda.
And thanks, Nick Heckman, for sharing the screen.
Oh yeah, technology. Okay, Dustin. Which is also the Madison Metropolitan School District.
No update this month.
Okay, double dollars.
Sorry, getting back on camera. Double dollars outdoor season has come to an end and has shifted to the Willie Street Co-op. So shoppers can now double their dollars indoor for the near future. So that's it.
Thanks, Nick. Community gardens, no major update. As Nan mentioned, we're working with groups around the Garver Community Garden, as well as a couple other groups that are interested in putting community gardens in some parks, but nothing, well, nothing happening now because it's fall. Food system assessment.
Lindsay couldn't join us today, so we have no update.
Okay. Anything from George?
Yeah, I'll tackle all three of these staff updates at once. Nice. We have nothing from our friends in economic development or extension. Public health, I've kind of shared some stuff already tonight related to some of the food systems work that I'm doing. I just wanted to raise folks' attention to, once again, to our respiratory infection dashboard. It's that time of year. Definitely a lot of stuff circulating. Public health did just send out a notice about rising cases of pertussis. So definitely something to keep on your radar, check your vaccination status, and make sure your friends and family are aware of those things. So thank you.
Pertussis. Wow. Okay, sorry. I just didn't know. I thought that was like eradicated. Okay, sorry.
Definitely not.
Announcements.
I'll quickly announce, we already made mention of it briefly, that our final meeting of the year is going to be on December 4th. So no meeting in November, no end of December meeting. We're going to be meeting early in December on the 4th. So keep that in mind. I will, of course, be sending out some updates as we get closer. And we will also be sending out a revised calendar schedule for 2025 shortly. So thank you.
Thanks, Nick. Any other announcements? And if not, anyone want to make a motion to adjourn? Nan and Alder Vittiver. That's a motion and a second. I'm gonna, Nan, I think, is to my left, so I think she's the first, and then Alder Ritter is the second. Okay, we are adjourned. Thanks, everyone.